in the back. It has a lot of information. Every missionary has their information on the back of the prayer cards. And we've got our website on there. We have, I've got my email and phone number on the back, and with all the other missionaries also, if you can grab their cards, you know, they like you to drop a line to them from time to time and just see how they're doing, you know, maybe on an email. And I don't know how others do it, but I do have all my prayer letters on my website, so you can also find all that on the website. And when you pray for us, every time you go to the Chili's restaurant, think of us and pray for us. Every time you have a bowl of chili, think of us. I'm trying to get prayer. I'm trying to get the prayer going. All right, 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. And let's look at verse 6. We're going to go to a couple of different places. We're going to go to Genesis 19. So if you can pick that up with one hand, other hand, 1 Corinthians 10. And then 2 Peter 2. And we'll do one more in Matthew. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we have Paul. And he's given a rebuke to the Corinthian people. And he's reminding them of some things here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And so he's talking to them from 1 to 5 about what happened back in Moses' day. And then in verse 6 he says, "Now these things were our examples to the intent. We should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur you, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come." So these are some things we're supposed to listen to, pay attention to, and apply in our lives. Verse 12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." 13, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." So real shortly here, I just want to talk about a fire escape from temptation, and then also for the lost. We're in a missions conference, and I want to talk a little bit about the fire escape for those out there that don't have the answer like we do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray you help me move out of the way, and the Holy Spirit would come in and have the preeminence. And Lord, that no flesh would glory in your presence, Lord. And Lord, I do love you, and I thank you, and I'm not tired of that salvation you gave me, and I thank you for it, Father, and I rejoice in it. And Lord, so just pray you help us with all these messages that we heard over this week to be able to apply it in our lives and be able to show someone else the greatest gift on earth, and that's salvation and how free it is. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, take your Bibles and go to 2 Peter 2. We're going to go to 2 Peter 2, and we'll read out of there, and then we won't be back there. And then we'll stick there mainly in Genesis and Corinthians. 2 Peter in chapter 2, and look there in verse 6. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot." Now, he didn't deliver just Lot. We know he also delivered the daughters. So it's talking about righteousness here. It says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations." And you know, when you go into your work, I was talking to a gentleman last night, go to Genesis 19. When you go to your work, a lot of times some of those jobs, police officer, military, construction, firefighting, in those jobs, a lot of times you can be vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And so we gotta realize and understand that God can deliver us out of temptations, and temptations will come, temptations to sin, and the Lord can deliver us out of it. And we got to get that soul ready. We got to get it ready so we can go talk to others about Jesus Christ and show them the truth. Take your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter 19. We got to get rid of some sin in our lives. Look at Genesis chapter 19. Those temptations are all around us. We're in the last days, the Laodicean church, and it's easy to get a little bit dead, get to a place where we become stagnant, where we don't think the Lord's working in our lives anymore. Genesis 19, and we're going to look at verse 15 there. Now, in Genesis 18, let me just back up a little bit. In Genesis 18, you have Abraham, and he's going before the Lord, and he found out that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with fire. So he goes to the Lord. He says, if there's 50 righteous, I think you remember that portion of the scripture, then he keeps going down. He says, 45, 40, 30, 20, gets down to 10. And he says, Lord, now I don't want to trouble you anymore, but Lord, if there's 10 righteous, will you spare the city for 10 righteous? And Lord says, yes. And our Lord's long-suffering and merciful. We're here in 2018. We thought he was coming back in 2000. Those of you that were saved then in 2000, you're like, oh, he's coming back. He's coming back for sure. And we're here in 2018. That's the long-suffering of the Lord, the mercifulness of the Lord. And we're probably thinking right now, oh, he's coming back, he's coming back. But what if it is another 18 years? What if it is? He's long-suffering, and he said that, look, I'll save it for 10. I think if Abraham kept going and said, what about 5? I believe the Lord would have said, yeah, even though that city is wicked, I'll save Sodom and Gomorrah if there's 5 righteous. Now, Abraham stopped at 10, so he thought there was 10. He was probably counting. He said, there's Lot, there's his wife, there's the 2 daughters, and surely the 2 son-in-laws, and surely they affected 4 more people for righteousness' sake. So surely there's got to be 10 people in this city, and surely the Lord will spare Sodom and Gomorrah. See, Abraham didn't want it destroyed, but the Lord had to get rid of it. Look at 15, that's where we're going to pick it up right there in 15. The fire's coming now, the fire's coming. 15, when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy 2 daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his 2 daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Verse 17, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. See, the Lord is for Abraham's sake, he's going to save Lot. And so these angels come and they give him a command, they say, you need to arise, you need to get out. In 15. And then 16, he doesn't, he lingers, so they physically get a hold of them and get him out. And then in 17, he gives them the direct instructions. Now, a lot of times, that's like us in our life. The Lord will come and say, Derek, don't mess up there. Don't get involved in that thing. You're starting to be tempted. You're starting to think about something you shouldn't be thinking about. You're holding on to the bitterness. You're holding on to a grudge. You need to get that thing taken care of, Derek. And he'll come and he'll warn you and warn you and warn you. And then what we will do is a lot of times we'll linger in that thing a little bit. And we'll be like, oh, yeah, okay, no, I need to take care of it. I need to get rid of this temptation, this sin that's coming. Yep, I shouldn't be thinking about that. Well, you know, I think I'll be all right. Other Christians seem to be fine with it. I'll be okay. It's all right to be a little proud. It's okay for that. You know, I don't have that much pride. We linger sometimes in there, and we kind of go from side to side saying, is that sin? Is that really a sin? Is pride a sin? Is this a sin? Is it really that bad? Is it really that bad? Am I really that bad of a person? Look at 17. Or 16. So in 16, he lingers, and then he's got to physically take him out. What will happen is, you start thinking about that, you start lingering, and the Lord will say, yes, quit looking or quit thinking about that, and something will happen. Something will happen. Well, he'll get you out of that temptation, because he knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And maybe a phone call will ring, or maybe someone will start talking to you, and you quit having them bad thoughts. Or maybe you're doing something, you're watching TV or something, I don't know what to do, but if something happens, the TV goes off, or a radio or something. But he'll get you out of that thing. And then once he's got you to a point where you're listening, then he'll give you the direct instruction. Look at 17. So it says, "And it came to pass when they had brought him forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life." So here's what he tells him. He says, look, you need to get out. A fire's coming. A fire's coming. He says, get out. So he says, don't look behind thee. And he says, neither stay thou on all the plain. But what I want you to do is I want you to go up to that mountain. I want you to escape to the mountain lest you be consumed. So once the Lord has your attention, he says, all right, look, you're getting involved in this thing and there's a fire coming and you need to get out of the temptation and don't stay here. Don't look behind. Don't look back at that temptation. But get all the way up there to that top of that mountain. It might take you a while. It's going to take you a while to climb up that mountain, get to the very top, but that's where I want you to go. I want you to get way up there. I want you to get away from some of the pressures of this world and just get away. And we act like Lot. Look at 18. And Lot said, oh, no, not so, my Lord. We do that sometimes. We're like, oh, Lord, no, hold on. Now, I've got a better plan than what you got, Lord. Look at 19. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. So you're like, oh, yeah, Lord, you saved my life. I'm a Christian. You magnified your mercy. And I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. So you say, nah, something bad's going to happen. That mountain's way up there. Ooh, that plain ain't that far. How about I just go to the plain? It's right over here. I'll still be fine. A little temptation, a little, I just want a shortcut. That's too far. That's going to take too long. How much time you want me to spend in prayer? How much time reading my Bible? You want me to go where on Saturday? And you can soul win any time, not just Saturday. Now, so there's Lot, and he's kind of reasoning there a little bit with the Lord, or with these two angels. Look at 20. Behold, now the city is near to flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape hither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said, see, I've accepted thee concerning this thing. So here's Lot. He doesn't take the Lord's these two angels' instructions, just like we don't take the Lord's instructions a lot of times. And we say, well, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do what I want. I ain't going to listen to you, Lord. I mean, we won't say it like that. You understand? You don't say it exactly like that. Because we justify why we do things. So we say, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. After smoke jumping, I was a district manager. And my company was always trying to get me to just do a little white lie, just a little cheating, just a little bit bending the rules a little bit. And if any of you in the business world, you probably know that because that's the way companies are nowadays in this business world. They're just trying to take all the shortcuts they can because it's all about the bottom dollar, the money. Are we making the money? Are we making the money? And so they try to get me, these little shortcuts and little lies and things like that. And we do that in the Christian realm a lot of times. We say, a little lie won't hurt me. Or maybe someone does you wrong. And the Bible says we're supposed to forgive them. But we'll say, I'll just hold on to that a little bit, that grudge. He needs to know or she needs to know I'm mad at him. I'm mad. So I'm going to hold on a little bit, Lord. I'll take care of this later. I need to hold on to a little bit so they understand that I'm a little bit mad at them. That's wrong. That's wrong. We're supposed to forgive. So here in 21, though, the angels say, I've accepted thee concerning this thing. And you know what? Lord will warn you and warn you and warn you and warn you. You say, I'm going to do my own thing. And say, okay, you want to go playing? Go ahead. I'll accept you. But now there's consequences, though. Look there in verse 26. It says, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I wonder what would have happened had they kept climbing. Had they kept climbing that mountain. I wonder if they would have got to the top and looked back, and they would have been okay. You say, well, I don't know about that, because the Lord said not to look back. Yeah, but he also said not to go to the plain, and Lot went to the plain, and he ended up being okay. Well, not really, because he didn't take the perfect will of God. He just took an accepted will.
A lot of times the Lord will come and He'll give you His perfect will. He'll tell you what you want to do. A lot of times I say, I don't want to do it that way. The Lord said, all right. All right, but you still need to get out. You still need to get out because the fire is coming. I'll accept you in this. But now, because you didn't take the perfect will, man, there were some things I was going to do in your life, Derek. Boy, man, we were going to have a good time. And had you went this way and that way, man, you would have saw some things. But now you're not going to see some of those things. Because you didn't do what I asked you to do. You just want that accepted life. You just want that life where everything's just what we consider hunky-dory. You don't want to trust me by faith on some of these things. Doesn't the Bible say without faith, whatsoever is not of faith, it is sin. It is sin, whatsoever is not of faith. On August 15th, 1949, a crew of 15 of the United States Forest Service elite airborne firefighters or smoke jumpers would jump out in a raging fire. When all was said and done, only three would be alive. Now you can go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now this was going to be known as the Man Gulch Fire in Helena, Montana. Remember the time set, 1949. Now, what happened? These men, they had intense fire training. Some of them were college educated. They were considered infallible at that time. They were the in the upper echelon of wildland firefighting. And they figured they could handle this fire. And so they get up in the plane, they circle around this fire, and they see the fire, and dispatch calls them, and there was a lot of lightning strike fires going on at that time, and they asked them, can we cut off communication with you guys? Because we got too much going on, would it be alright? And Wade Dodge is the foreman in charge. Wade Dodge, he's looking down at that fire, he says, we'll be alright. In fact, we'll have this thing licked by mid-morning, and we'll be back at base. Yeah, go ahead and cut off communication. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know what we do as a born-again Christian? We get to a point in our life where we don't think we have, where we haven't confessed sin or we haven't dealt with temptations and we get to a point where we think we're all right. And then we wonder why sometimes no one listens to us when we try to give them the gospel. And we wonder why we don't see some people saved. And they're looking at you like, well, you're no different than me. What is it that you got that I ain't got? Because they're like, oh, you do the same thing as I do. You lie. You cheat. I mean, well, what's the difference between us two? That's the way they kind of look at it. So what the men were looking at when they were circling that fire was there was two ridges going down about a 45, and in between was Man Gulch. And at the bottom of this ridge was smoke. And the smoke was going up there, and at the very bottom was the Missouri River. So Wade Dodge, he decided he's going to jump his men out, and he jumps them out about mid-slope. And then they start fighting the fire down, or they start walking downhill, and they start going towards the fire. And Wade Dodge stayed up, and he started watching to see everything that was going on. And so he's watching his men, and they start hiking towards the bottom. The idea was once they get to the bottom, where the fire's at, then they will build line, construct line around the fire, and put it out. So they start hiking down, and as they're hiking down, Wade Dodge saw that fire started to pick up over here. And you had tall grass here, and you had a lot of high timber here, and that fire started to go down that gulch. And it started to go back up, and it trapped them. It went right by that river, and it started coming up one way where the men was at, and it started coming up the other way. And Wade Dodge is watching this whole scene, and he sees the top of the mountain, and he sees how fast this fire is going, and he realizes there's no way they're going to make it to the top. So he yells to his men, he says, drop your tools and run! The fire's coming! The fire's coming! Some of them dropped their tools and ran, and some didn't. Some didn't have no sense of urgency, while others did. Just as Christians, we see no sense of urgency to talk to the Lord, to confess sin, to be mindful of temptations when they come. We think we've got it figured out. And so the Wade Dodge looked at the top. He saw his men. He realized they're not going to make it. So he did something that was controversial back then. He started a frontal fire. And with that frontal fire, that fire took off and raced up that mountain. And then the idea was that he'll get his men and he'll get them down in that black. And then they can all lay down in that black and that fire will go around them. And as he's lighting that frontal fire, three men come up and then they take off to the top. And so he tries to yell at them, but it's too late. The next guy up is Helaman. Helaman is second in charge. If he convinces Helaman, then he can convince the rest of the crew. So he tells Helaman, look, get in the black, we'll be safe. Don't go to the top, you'll never make it. And Helaman says, the heck with that. Just like a lot of times a pastor warns you, and he warns the lost, and he tells them, if you're in here lost, you might look at pastor and say, yeah, I've heard that before. But he loves you. He's trying to keep you out of hell. He doesn't want you to go there. He's not happy about hell. He's like the Lord. He's not willing that any should perish. And so Wade Dodge and the rest of the men that came up, they wouldn't listen to Wade Dodge. They just followed Helaman. Now, Helaman did make it to the top. He made it to the top, but he died the next day from his burns. I'm just going to read this in Matthew 7 and verse 21. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, or is not willing that any should perish. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And in Matthew 7:23 it says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, there's a lot of people sitting even in independent Baptist churches, much less Lutheran churches like I was in, or maybe you were in, or Catholic churches, or Methodist church, or Presbyterian church, or Pentecostal churches that think they're going to heaven. And they've done works in Christ's name. Maybe they've sent a Facebook message about Christ and they think, okay, that'll get me in. There are people out there, when you talk to them and you ask them if they're a Christian, they will say, I'm a Christian. Don't believe them. Don't believe them. Ask them if they're lost. Ask them, when did you get saved? Were you lost at some time in your life? How did you get saved? Tell me your testimony. I say, don't believe them because that's where I was at. People would ask me if I was a Christian. I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. Don't just go, if you had the nerve to ask them if they're a Christian, then have the nerve to say, well, tell me about it. Tell me how to go to heaven. Boy, I sure would like to know how to get there. Because people are believing that if they prophesy in Lord's name and do many wonderful works, that the Lord will reward them, and surely the Lord won't send them to hell. Surely a good God's not going to send them to hell. But they have rejected Jesus Christ and His blood atonement for their sins. Like I said, Helaman, he woke up the next day. He made it to the top. He was safe, but he woke up the next day dead from his burns. A lot of people are going to think they're going to heaven, and they're going to wake up the next day and realize they're in hell. Now Wade Dodge, the fire started coming close to him. It started getting real close to him. And what fire will do is it has its own storm. It has its own wind. And what it can do is it can physically lift a man up. So Wade Dodge, he laid down as that fire came. And what it did was it lifted him up and it slammed him down. Lift him up and slammed him down. And listen, friend, if you're here and you're in some temptation or some sin you got to take care of, you need to stay low. You need to stay close to Christ. And don't allow the devil to get you up and go back and say, I'm all right. I'm going to go back to my old ways. I'll be fine. I can do this thing. I don't need God. Now, we won't say that, but that's how we act a lot of times. And we need to stay low and say, Lord God, help me. I can't do this. Lord, I need you. Lord, help me live a Christian life. Help me to serve you. Help me to love you. The devil will come and say, you're all right, Derek. You're fine. Why are you overreacting, Derek? Just go on and live how you're living. You'll be fine. You're a good Christian fellow. You don't need to confess sin. You're just fine. There's no temptations coming your way. That's what the devil wants to tell you, and you get consumed by the fire. by the fire. Now, it's never too late. Don't worry about what people think. Don't worry about peer pressure. Because those last three, there was a rock outcropping. They made it to the rock outcropping. But one of them turned and decided he could still make it to the mountain. They found his body 12 feet from that rock outcropping. Those other two, they moved from rock to rock to rock to rock, and the fire never got him. And Jesus Christ is that rock, and it's never too late to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if you already said, I'm saved, yeah, I'm trusted in Christ, make sure of that. We're not trying to get any recommitments, but just make sure that you're saved, that you were lost, because we don't desire that any die and go to hell. I'm going to read this, and I'm just about done. I'm going to read this real quick about Dodge. Now, Dodge was blamed for the death of those men back there in 1949. It's a song about a soul confession of Wade Dodge. My name is Dodge, but then you know that. It's written on the chart there on the foot end of the bed. They think I'm blind that I can't read it. I've read it every word, and every word it says is death. Soul confession, is that the reason that you came? Get it off my chest before I check out of the game. Since you mention it, there's just 13 things I'll name. 13 crosses high above the cold Missouri waters. August 49th, North Montana, was the hottest day on record, and the forest tender dry. Lightning strikes in the mountains. I was crew chief at the jump base. I prepared the boys to fly. Picked the drop zone. C-47 comes in low. Feel the tap upon your leg that tells you to go. See the circle of the fire down below. 15 of us dropped above the cold Missouri waters. Gauge the fire, I'd seen bigger. So I ordered them to side hill and we'll fight it from below. We'll have our backs to the river. We'll have it licked by morning, even if we take it slow. Then the fire crown jumped the valley just ahead. There was no way down, headed for the ridge instead. Too big to fight it, have to fight that slope instead. Flames one step behind, above the cold Missouri waters. Sky was turning red, smoke was boiling. 200 yards to safety, death was 50 yards behind. I don't know why, I just thought it. I struck a match to waist-high grass, running out of time. Tried to tell them, step into this fire I set. We can't make it, this is the only chance you'll get. But they cursed me, ran for the rocks above instead. I lay face down and prayed above the cold Missouri waters. And then I arose like the phoenix in a world reduced to ashes. There were none but two survived. I stayed that night and all day after. Carried bodies to the river, wondering how I stayed alive. 13 stations of the cross to mark their fall. I've had my say, I'll confess to nothing more. I wonder what will happen at your funeral. Will they say, I tried to warn them. You ever been cursed out before? We're just telling them about Jesus Christ. Man, telling them about our Savior and you get cursed out. He was cursed out trying to save their lives. And you're doing the same thing. You are God's firefighters. And one last story. In August 97, I got saved. And in that same year, or in April, and then that same year in August, we went to help Winthrop, Washington, fight fires. All their smoke jumpers were jumped out, and there's a lot of lightning strike fires, and so we went to go help them. We go to their base, and we're cleaning up the base, and some of the Winthrop jumpers came back, and we jumped into a plane, and we went and circled around the fire, and I was the fifth guy in the plane. They jumped four of the smoke jumpers out, and we got the call back on the radio that there's two smoke jumpers hurt. Two women smoke jumpers. One had a possible fractured femur bone, which is the strongest bone in your body. And then the other a fractured ankle, or one of the strongest bones in the body. And then the other fractured ankle. And so they said, this is now a rescue jump. We're going to jump the rest of you guys out. So they jumped the rest of us out. And I was an EMT, and as soon as I landed, I could hear screaming. I knew that was my fractured femur patient. So I ran over there, and I started checking on her from head to toe. And I pushed in on her hips, and she screamed even louder. She had came, and she slammed into this rock outcropping. She had diverse wind conditions, and so she slammed into that. And come to find out, she ended up fracturing her pelvic bone. So we got her and we got the other gal over to the hospital there in Wenatchee. And that night, the next day, we ended up jumping some more fires. Well, 3 to 4 weeks go by, and so we ended up back in Missoula. So I decided I'd write to everyone, ask them, if you died that day on that fire, would you went to heaven or hell? And this one gal, she's the only one who wrote back to me. All the rest probably laughed at me, scorned, whatever, rejected. But she wrote back, so I was zealous. I wanted to see someone get saved. And so I said, look, don't trust in the Bible. I grew up Lutheran. And I go to a Baptist church. You grew up Catholic and Jewish. Don't trust in those religions. Trust what the Bible has to say. And she went down to San Diego, and she went to Pastor Fisher's there at Lighthouse. And 3 to 4 months later, she ended up getting saved. I said, what's that story have to do with anything? Well, I married her. It's my wife. What are we doing to get the gospel out to the people? You are God's firefighter. This is a missionary state, Alaska. Just hearing all the people going out in the remote villages and other places, and people coming from all over, and the military coming here. Man, what an opportunity. Because if the states in the United States, if they're not witnessing to the people, some of them are coming here, and what an opportunity, what a chance for you to be able to witness, Pastor.